Hearty welcome to each one of you here this morning. It is good to see the many that have come out. A special welcome to those that are in the vehicles. May they feel God's closeness as we look into His Word. This morning my focus is on the book of Hosea, chapter 3. Hosea, chapter 3. Read the whole chapter, 5 verses. It says, "Then the Lord said unto me, Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and a homer of barley, and half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man, so will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." May God bless the reading of His Word. When you read this chapter, you will find out very, very quickly that Hosea is grieving for his wife, urging for the return of his beloved wife, who has left him for other lovers. And despite the infidelity, Hosea's wife is callous and cold. But Hosea is determined to pay any price that would bring his beloved wife back to him. And when you read this story, it's a story of a broken vow, a broken home, a broken heart, and a broken life. And God has chosen to reveal this story through a broken-hearted prophet, so that he and his people, they will understand God's faithfulness and his persistent love. And there's one thing that we must never forget, and that is that God never gives up on his people. God never gives up on you. Others may give up on you. Or even you yourself may give up on yourself, but not God. And the setting of the story takes place in the city of Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. And Hosea, he's a young prophet, and he's led by God to win back his wife. Gomer's past isn't very good. She's left him. And she herself was a prostitute, and she went after other lovers. And we say Hosea is left with 3 children, which we read about in the first chapter, who were given names at points to this tragedy. The first name was Jezreel, which means judgment. Then I believe a daughter whose name was Lerohamah, means not loved. And then Lo am I, which means not my people. And even though Gomer was home for a while, her heart wasn't there. She's betrayed her husband's devotion. And you can imagine maybe the gossip that went around. Like, how could this happen? How can a religious man, a holy prophet, have gotten a wife like this? It's very interesting. Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, Go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms," or harlotry, "and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son." God said to go take a wife of whoredoms. And even though we wonder, happening today as well. Satan likes nothing better than destroying homes and churches. And he begins at the head of the home or the leadership of the church. And as Hosea starts to fathom this, he gets a better understanding of the heart of God and the love that he has for his people. How can we understand a holy and righteous God who tolerates a people like us, unfaithful and sinful? It is by confessing our sins and inviting Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives. That is when you and I have a better understanding of God. It is then that we come more like him. And what Hosea was doing for Gomer is what Christ did for us. He forgave us of our sins. And we see that Hosea, he doesn't give up. Even though she's left the home, she has not left his heart. And he's determined to get her back no matter what she has done. In verse 1, the Lord said to me, "Go show your love to your wife again." Even though she has other lovers, the Lord says, "Go and get her back." Hosea goes and he buys her back. She had likely fallen into slavery and he needs to buy her back. And you're probably thinking to yourself, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that a man has to pay to keep his wife who has betrayed him. But it also doesn't make sense that God would pay such a high price to buy us back, but he did. That's unconditional love, my friends. That's grace. We were like Gomer described in Hosea chapter 2, verse 5. Their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, "I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my oil and my drink." A few verses later, verse 8, she has not acknowledged that the Lord was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold, which they use for the gods of Baal. Little did they know that God still supplied them with the rich blessings of life, just like he does today. Their focus was on their gods, the god of Baal. But despite all of this, God, he still loves us. And he gave his life to save us. When the Lord said to me in verse 1, "Go again," it doesn't mean to give up. Love the woman, just like the love of the Lord for the children of Israel. And the Lord, he keeps encouraging Hosea to pursue that love relationship with Gomer. He said, don't give up on her. Keep showing her your love. You know, it must have been difficult being in Hosea's shoes to again and again to pursue that love relationship. How do you continue despite getting angry or getting hurt? Knowing that your wife is out being loved by another man. And Hosea knew this was happening and he continued to love and bring Gomer back. My friends, that's exactly what the Israelites were doing to the Lord. They were looking at other gods. Gods who they thought would meet their needs. It talks about the flagons of wine. And they would offer this to Baal in thanksgiving for the harvest. And not only that, they would join in with the idolaters, drink and have a good time. Their eyes weren't fixed on God. They were fixed on the things of this world. And yet, how often do we lose focus in our lives? And Gomer's life is a clear picture of this, pursuing other men and living in sin. And my question is, are we content with where we're at? Where's your life at? Where's your heart at? What are you focused on? Is it in tune with God, or are you in tune with the world? You know, today being communion preparation, we ask, is your heart ready for communion next week? Is your heart right with God? Or is it like Gomer's? You know, the Lord is ready to forgive if you're ready to confess. If there's someone here this morning searching for their needs to be satisfied, I want to encourage you to look to Jesus Christ. Look to His Word and not the things of this world. Because it is only Jesus that can forgive you your sins and give you that peace and that contentment that you may be longing for. Too often in life, we think that we can fill that fulfillment or that need on our own. And we think that we don't need God. And we think we can conquer anything that comes our way. And it doesn't take long, and we soon realize that we can't, as it leads to failure and disappointments. There's a dad named Joshua who couldn't have been prouder when his son was born. And he named his son Adam. And during Adam's childhood, Joshua would often play with him and teach him about life and love. And Joshua, he was a proud daddy. And to Adam, he was a hero to be mimicked. But when Adam turned 16, things began to change. His clothes, his hair, his music, they were all new. And they were strange and they were somewhat frightening to Joshua, the dad. And without warning, their warm and their loving relationship had turned cold and bitter. And arguments filled the air that once charmed with laughter. And by the summer of Adam's 17th birthday, he had decided that he had enough of his dad's rules. So he left. And it wasn't a well-planned exit. There was a quarrel. There were threats. A few things thrown into a backpack and a hasty decision. And a departure. And Joshua, he kept up with his son, even though Adam thought that his father had no idea where he was or what he was doing. And Joshua, he knew a lot of people, and they were always ready to tell what they knew about Adam's doings. The things that Joshua heard about Adam, they broke his heart, but never diminished his love. One evening, the phone rang at Joshua's home. "Joshua, I've got some bad news for you," the voice on the other line said. "What's wrong?" "It's Adam, isn't it?" Joshua replied. "Yes, it is. I just heard that your son has been arrested and he's in jail." "I'm sorry, Joshua, I didn't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I thought you'd want to know." "Thanks, Mike, I appreciate you telling me." And after hanging up, Joshua, he stood there, frozen, eyes fixed on the floor, but seeing nothing. "What should I do?" he wondered out loud. "Where did I go wrong?" few hours later, as Adam sat in the corner of a holding cell, he heard a familiar voice. Adam, would you like to come home now? And looking up, he could hardly believe that his father had been standing on the other side of those steel bars. And his tears began to stream down Adam's face. I'm sorry, Dad. I guess I've really messed up. Why are you here? I'm here to take you home if you want to go. But Dad, I don't have any money. And I can't pay the fine to get out of this mess. I know, son, I've already paid that fine. All I want to know is, are you ready to come home? Maybe we've been followers of Adam. We've rebelled against our father. We've left our home and we've wandered about in the world. We've declared our independence from a father, and as a result, we've ended up becoming slaves to sin and to Satan. And in the book of Hosea, we are portrayed as Gomer. Her bad choices and unfaithfulness toward him are a picture of our sin and our unfaithfulness towards God. And we need someone to come and to pay our penalty so that we can be set free. And that is what Jesus Christ has done. And this is what the story of Hosea and Gomer is all about. But as we take a look, we can see what it costed Hosea, the cost of his love. Hosea, his name means salvation, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, it describes Hosea's actions towards Gomer, the depth of his love and the extent of his sacrifice that cannot be missed. It says, "So I bought her for myself for 15 shekels of silver. And one-half homers of barley." And there's three words that I want to look at and see what those three words mean to us and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the words are, "I bought her." And these words point to Christ's plan of salvation. Now, we usually don't think in terms of buying or selling people, but we understand that slavery and bondage has and is a part of human history. In Hosea's day, it wasn't an uncommon occurrence for a person to be sold as a slave. You could become a slave by being born to parents who were slaves. You could be a slave by a conquering army. Or you could become a slave through indebtedness to a creditor. And we've been born with a sin nature that wants to continually control and dominate our lives. We've incurred a debt of sin that we will never be able to repay. And when a person became a slave, they could be bought and sold. And we think of Joseph. He was sold by his brothers and taken to Egypt as a slave. We also find the account of the widow with two sons who were about to be sold as slaves because of the family debt that were unable to satisfy in 2 Kings chapter 4. The word bought reminds us of this spiritual slavery. And then there's something more in that word, though. And the word points us to the fact that there is a Redeemer. And Hosea fulfilled the meaning of his name when he went and purchased a redeemed Gomer. When we think of Christ redeeming us, that means that he has set us free from sin. He has paid for our sins on that cross. And when Hosea went to buy Gomer, he was not buying her with the same purpose that other people might buy her for. Anyone else that would have bought her were for only one purpose, for using her and controlling her. But he was buying her for the sole purpose of setting her free. The world, Satan and sin, and all that draws you away from Christ is not an offer of freedom. In fact, it's a trap. And it's a trap that's going to lead you to bondage. Jesus said that he came to set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus Christ bought us so that you and I could be free. That is a true understanding of what it means to be free. Freedom is not obeying the wicked temptations that tug at my flesh. Freedom is living the way that God designed us to live. And true freedom is living in fellowship and in relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the freedom that he has come to give each one of us. And it means not only to buy, but it also means to buy out with no intention of return. So when Christ comes to redeem us, to set us free from our slavery with no intention of ever letting us return to our sinful past again. The second word we can focus on is the word I. This word emphasizes our need for a redeemer. You and I, we can do nothing to accomplish our own deliverance. We need someone else to save us. We cannot save ourselves. It is Jesus Christ who is both human flesh and became the Son of Man. And it is Christ who died for each one of us that we may have eternal life. The word bought speaks of redemption. I speaks of a redeemer, which is Jesus Christ, and her speaks of the redeemed, which is Gomer. And if you want to apply it to today, it is you and I. Unfaithful, bankrupt, and unworthy. We all know the life that Gomer lived. And the gods that Israel pursued after, and they were never satisfied. So we've seen Christ's plan of redemption, his pursuit of reconciliation, and now the price of redemption. And it tells us that Hosea, he paid 15 shekels of silver and one half. Homers of barley. You know what that may mean? Very little to us, but because we're used to calculating everything in dollars and cents, not shekels and barley. But to put it into perspective, consider that according to Judges chapter 17, Micah's priest was paid 10 shekels of silver a year plus clothing and upkeep. And I think we can accurately conclude that the price that was paid by Hosea was obviously an enormous sum amount of money. And this is also evident that when we see what he paid for her, not only in cash, but also in crops. And it makes you wonder if that was maybe all the money that he had. What does that tell us about our redemption in Jesus Christ? Lord, it points to an enormous price that was paid for our redemption by Jesus Christ. And what was that price? It was his own precious blood. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, according to Ephesians 1:7. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, as Christ's blood was poured forth and he gave himself for our sins, Christ was paying the price of our redemption. He didn't give something, he gave himself for us. Nothing else has to be done. Jesus has paid it all. And the only thing for you and I is to receive him by faith for what he has done. Jesus has come with a plan to redeem men and women and children. He has come to pursue your reconciliation with God. And he's come to pay the price of our redemption. Will you receive him today? Verse 3, and I said to her, you shall stay with me many days, and you shall not play the harlot, nor shall you have a man. So too will I be toward you. Hosea is playing the part with Gomer that God has done for each one of us. God's love is unconditional. And Hosea understood that firsthand. Have you and I? And if you haven't accepted God's love, I encourage you to do that today. Receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Tell him that you've gone astray and you're returning back to him. God will forgive you and restore you back to life in Jesus Christ. You know, Hosea is an example of human grace, forgiveness, dedication, and commitment. Now, we as married couples who are or have experienced trials in our relationship, we can learn a lot from Hosea. He teaches us that there is more than you and I can do. You can give your all for the sake of restoring your relationship and your romance. But Hosea is more than just a story about a broken home and a broken marriage. It's a story about spiritual things. It's about her broken relationship with God. And how it can be restored. A relationship that needs to be renewed. Where is your relationship with Jesus Christ at? Is it one that needs to be renewed like Israel and Gomer? Or like it says in verse 5, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and the Messiah David their king, and they shall fear the Lord and his goodness in those latter days. My prayer this morning is that we would have a love like Hosea had toward Gomer. A love that God had for Israel. And a love that Jesus Christ has for each one of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we want to thank you for the example of Hosea toward Gomer, Israel toward the Lord. And Father, we pray that you would just work in our hearts each day to see the picture, to see what you've done for each one of us. Father, may we stay true and committed to you. Father, may our desires be only for you and you only. Lord, we thank you for your love and how you went to the cross for each one of us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your hearty singing this morning. Furthermore, if nothing else to present to you, I want to thank you for coming, and may the word of God have spoken to your hearts. Let us bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Thanks again, and you may depart in the peace of the Lord.